We are going to turn this morning to the Gospel of John, chapter 18. And we are continuing our study of Mark's Gospel. And Mark and Matthew and Luke all give a very thorough account of the sufferings of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. But John, who was there, does not. He instead shares with us another event that took place right there at the garden that none of the others mention. It was the Spirit of God bringing our brother John to give this report. So we're going to read today the first few verses of John chapter 18. Let us hear the Word of God, because this takes up right where we were in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14. So John 18, verse 1, this is God's Word. When Jesus had spoken these words, the words of His high priestly prayer in that preceding chapter, He went forth with His disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden, into the which He entered, and His disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed Him, knew the place. For Jesus oft times resorted thither with His disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men, and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon Him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered Him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am. And Judas also, which betrayed Him, stood with them. As soon as He had said unto them, I am, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked He them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am. If therefore ye seek Me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which He spake, of them which Thou gavest Me have I lost none. Amen. We end our reading there at the end of verse 9, and we trust that the Lord will come today and speak to us His Word from this awesome passage. Let us pray together. O Lord, we need Thee. We confess that this is Thy Word. We are so unworthy, not worthy even to touch it, much less to read from it. But Lord, we thank Thee that we have it as a gift from Thy hands. Help us to handle it humbly and gratefully. Oh, that Thou wouldst come, O Spirit of God. Thou wouldst breathe this holy word. We pray, O breath of God, come and speak to us today. We pray in that all-prevailing name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Who is this man, Jesus of Nazareth? When those around Him were deathly afraid of dying, He showed them that He is the Lord of life and glory. When Jairus' little daughter was lying dead upon her bed, when the weeping crowd was convinced that she was gone, Christ Jesus raised her simply by saying, Arise, and she lived. When the apostles were sure that they would die in the sea storm, he said, "Peace, be still." And there was a great calm. When a huge mob came to the Garden of Gethsemane to take Christ and his followers to death, all Jesus had to say was, "I am." And all his enemies fell backward, helplessly to the ground. So let us look upon him by faith this morning. Let us behold his power and glory. We do not want to miss a single episode in the last hours of Christ's life on this earth. We are saving the passage in Mark 14 for the Lord's Supper tonight, God willing. The next event, therefore, was the arrest. The mob came to arrest him, but he arrested them. I wonder, have you been arrested by the eternal God? Has he stopped you in your mad pursuit of destroying yourself and your soul? Oh, that he would grant this day saving faith to those that are without him. Oh, that he would strengthen faith in those of us who have him. As we look at these first 9 verses this morning, I would simply point out, first of all, Christ's absolute sovereignty. Secondly, Christ subduing his enemies. And then finally, Christ's people saved. So think with me first of Christ's absolute sovereignty. Notice verses 1 and 2. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. For Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. Every movement and every moment that Jesus was involved with that night was precisely and perfectly ordered by his own wisdom and power. Christ went to that garden because he knew that Judas knew it and that Judas would bring the mob there. That's why he went there. It was a quiet place, a lonely spot on that night when Jerusalem was filled with bustling multitudes of crowds of people. That lonely garden spot would help the fearful Jewish leaders to somehow muster the courage to take him if they could only get together a mob in order to allay their fears of a mob that might support Jesus. There they could apprehend Jesus and carry him away into the night secretly and quietly. Christ had taken his 11 apostles there, and he knew that Judas would be there. He wanted them all to see that he was not seized as a helpless victim. Rather, he voluntarily yielded himself to the mob. Before the mob arrived, Christ had prepared himself as the victor through those times of prayer. 3 times he prayed. He had encouraged and commanded the apostles to watch and pray with him. Every time they did not, they simply gave in to the flesh, which it was late at night. They were weary and they fell asleep. He was ready for the mob. They would not arrest him. Rather, he would arrest them. So Christ's absolute sovereignty. Secondly, notice verses 3 down to verse 6. Judas then, having received a band, notice those words are not in the original, of men, We thank God for our King James translators who very honestly and always, when there were not words in the original text, they would simply show the words that were added in italics in order to give us the sense of the reading. If we need those words, we can use them. If we don't need them, we don't have to read them. Okay, Judas then, having received a band and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, "Whom seek ye?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus saith unto them, "I am." And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, "I am," they went backward and fell to the ground. Who were these enemies? Judas, of course, was the betrayer, the hardened reprobate. And then that word, a band. He had received a band. That is a most interesting word. Every time that word occurs in the New Testament scripture, it refers to a large number of Roman soldiers. You check it out very carefully. It could have been a few hundred. It was most likely hundreds that came with them, because the Jewish leaders were terrified of those that supported Jesus, even though many of them had fallen away already. They were so afraid of a mob that they wanted to gather a bigger mob. When the chief military leader, you may remember in Jerusalem, at the time of the Apostle Paul's ministry in chapter 23, when he was simply going to move one man from Jerusalem up the coast to Caesarea, he took secretly by night the Apostle Paul and 470 Roman soldiers, spearmen and cavalry. And no doubt, in the case of dealing with Christ, it was a huge multitude, a band of Roman soldiers. And then the scripture says there were also with them officers from the chief priests. But not just officers from the chief priests. We read in the book of Luke, chapter 22 and verse 55, that the chief priests themselves were in that mob. Christ's most hardened enemies, the chief priests, were in that group as they came out bearing weapons, lanterns, and torches. Officers from the chief priest and the chief priest and captains we see there. They come thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Why did they bring these? They brought weapons because they were expecting resistance on a large scale. They only had a little resistance. Peter drew the sword, chopped off an ear. Jesus healed it. You could expect that from Peter. Jesus quieted him down, told him, put the sword away. Healed the man's ear. But they brought lights, lanterns and torches as well, because they expected that Jesus would flee into the darkness and try to get away from them. Those enemies certainly did not know Christ's perfect readiness to be led that night as a lamb to the slaughter. Christ's omniscience could see it all long before, away back when the covenant of redemption was entered into. Christ could see all the details. And now, as every second unfolds, the Lord Jesus knows all of those little tiny events developing. And so he boldly stepped forward to meet the mob. And he asked them, "Whom seek ye?" They answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus saith unto them, "I am. Ego in me." But it is actually those four sacred letters, the Hebrew letters spoken to Moses at the burning bush. I am Jehovah, the eternally self-existent God, was speaking to them. And literally, as soon as Jesus spoke those two words, Judas and all of that whole mob fell stumbling backwards onto the ground. That is literally what the Greek language says it, that they fell stumbling backwards onto the ground. Now, that is a display and a demonstration of Christ's divine power and majesty. He had said it before. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. No man taketh it from me. No man takes my life from me. But I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. It was a mighty force from Christ, His Word, striking them like lightning that struck Judas and that whole multitude and instantly sent the whole bunch backward, falling helplessly to the ground. Only His purposes of mercy and love kept Him from destroying them all on the spot. He could have dissolved their very existence. They came to apprehend Him, but He simply showed them all that they could not capture Him. He would willingly go with them as He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But do we not get a big look right here, both at the mercy of God and the extreme depravity of man? Do we not see very clearly those two realities? As they're lying there on the ground, helpless, do we not see the wonderful mercy of God? Do we not see the desperate wickedness of man? At that late hour, Christ again shows them forbearance. What an opportunity He gave those people lying on the ground to reflect on the marvelous mercy of God toward them. They were still breathing. He had just taken their breath from them. Could they not see their guilt and danger? Would not the goodness of God lead them to repentance? Oh, fools! And slow of heart to believe all the prophets had spoken. Here was the greatest of the prophets, greater than Elijah, who twice called down fire from heaven, burning up the captain and all of his soldiers on two occasions. Here is a greater than Elijah. They were still breathing. Oh, the hardness of the unrenewed human heart. It is indeed desperately wicked. Nothing but a miracle of God's almighty sovereign grace. The putting forth of the omnipotent power of the Holy Spirit can bring a blaspheming sinner out of darkness into God's marvelous saving light. Christ was showing His people how He can preserve His people even amidst the greatest dangers. Well, we have thought a little on Christ's absolute sovereignty and on His enemies subdued. Finally, Christ's people saved. Let's read the last three verses. Verses 7, 8, and 9. Then ask ye them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which He spake, of them which Thou gavest me have I lost none. Christ had awed the whole mob with His sovereign power Then he commanded them, he commanded his enemies in verse 8 to let his apostles go free. Now that word may not strike you so forcefully as it does in the original. It is an imperative word. It is not a suggestion. Rather, it is a sovereign command coming from the king based upon his own eternal decree. The apostles were not to suffer and die at that time. Christ would tread the winepress of wrath alone. Only Christ could atone for our horrible sin and guilt. Later, the apostles would minister. They would see great success of Jesus' cross work in extending His kingdom. Later, the apostles would suffer, and nearly all of them sealed their testimony with their blood and with their death. But not now. Not at this point. Not that night. Here is a clear picture of the saving gospel. Do you see it there? Christ goes to bleed and to die while His chosen people go free. His children receive sweet liberty due to His binding Himself over to death. Verse 9, that the saying might be fulfilled. Normally, that's referring to an Old Testament prophecy, but not this time. This is referring directly back to the prayer that he prayed in chapter 17, in that high priestly prayer. In verse 12 of chapter 17, Jesus prayed, "Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost." Here is great comfort. Every soul given to Christ by the Father is saved with an everlasting salvation. The shepherd was protecting his sheep. His very last thought before he went to his suffering was their safety, their salvation. The very last thought. They were about to tie his hands, but before they did, he tied their hands. He told them what to do. They had to let his people go. Christ was showing His people that He can preserve His people even amid the greatest of dangers. Do we not learn from this portion of the gospel that Christ has omnipotent power to use at the perfectly appropriate times? He had full control over diseases, over weather, over death, and over danger. What comfort Christian believers can derive from the fact that Christ has absolute power over evil multitudes. Do you understand that? Christ has absolute power over all the evil multitudes. He can cast them down. He can spare them. He can save them. Or He can destroy them. Christ saves His people. I wonder, are you one of His people today? Are you saved? Is your life hid with Christ in God? What evidence is there that you are His? Do you have a new heart? Do you have a new life? Do you have a heart that desires to please Him? Those are good evidences. Has Christ given you eternal life? Are you really one of His sheep? He said, "My sheep hear My voice. I know them, and they follow Me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man, neither shall anything pluck them out of My hand." So I urge you today, on the basis of this Almighty Savior and this true report that we have of Him and His great power, to make certain that you are one of His sheep. Cry out to Him. Confess that you are a helpless sinner in need, lost and undone. Oh Lord, save me. Ask Him to be your Lord and Savior. He promised, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Let us pray together. Our loving Father in heaven, we do thank Thee that Thou hast not left us to grope about in the darkness, trying to figure out who we are and who Thou art. We praise Thee that Thou hast told us the answers in Thy holy word. Oh, please, Lord, give us the heart to seek Thee. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt bless the truth to all of us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.